Well, good morning and welcome to Bethel on this the day after Coronation Day. Amen. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads.
Amen. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the new day and for life and health and strength. I pray your good hand upon us all this morning. Miss Frank, glad to hear he's doing well enough to be back in London and back at work. I pray even now, Lord, that you would continue to work on it. For Colin too, for each of the heads that's bowed in your presence, for all the souls, Lord, that make a point of worshipping you, giving you the respect and deference that you deserve. And I pray you, Father, that you would take and use this time in your presence as we lift up your praises and bring before you our prayers and petitions and read and preach your word. You would use it as a time of comforting and strengthening, and chastening, and edifying. Lord, whatever it is that we need, we pray that you'd be one of our number, Lord, that you would not be done with us, that you would cleanse us and refresh us and just outfit us, Lord, for the coming week. We leave these things to your feet, Father. We pray for the leaders of our country and the leaders of every country in the world, and especially for Israel. And most importantly, Lord, for your will to be done. We love you and thank you, and we ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which one did you pick, Mrs. Bradfield?
Just the big one, just in the
black book.
I think you have.
All right, it looks like a black book special. We're not doing them in any particular order, but I think we had a pick for number 11 this morning. Number 11, Immortal, Invisible, God, Holy, Wise.
I like these good old hymns. I like most of them. Let's see.
Yeah.
once, and we'll stop at Guy Behovah, Great Jehovah, next, number 13. Another good old song as well. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. If not, just remain seated, but as long as you make a joyful noise.
Except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So in every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest thou, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth come to the light, and his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptized in Aenon, near to Salim, where there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. But John was not yet cast into prison. And there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing, except it be given it him from heaven. Ye yourself bear me witness, that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, and he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seed that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure of him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen.
Probably one of the most formative chapters in the Word of God, and well worth a look at and a listen to. Yeah, just want to remind everybody about the little green prayer lists in honour of all the plants coming back to life and us getting a few flowers, so they're green today. And if anybody has anything that they would like to add to what we have in here already, now would be a good time, and we will write it on, and it will be updated into the next prayer list. Frank got back to London safely. Is that a thank you, or is that a... Does Frank call that home now? Does he? Does he say, I'm going home to London? No, not yet. Not yet. Hey, man. Well, it was nice to see Frank whenever he wasn't well, but we would rather have people well than sick. We'll miss him now that he's gone. I'm sure not as much as Frank and Dr. Shang, but we're glad he's he's recuperating. And speaking of recuperating, we're glad that Steve's back as well. Things seem to be on the up and up. Possible outpatient appointment over the next few weeks?
Hopefully, yeah. At least the next few, I'd say only 3 weeks, because they have to give you 5 days off the finish.
Yeah.
So, a couple of 3 weeks. But the bloods are okay, everything else is clear.
Good. We're glad to see you back.
Oh,
it's always good to have people getting better. I would appreciate your prayers for my back. It's still giving me a lot of dip, although I'm doing a lot better than I was, especially this time last week. You may have noticed as well the car's gone from the back of the church, and there's another car we had up at the house. We got those gone. They were wrecks, basically. Couldn't do anything about them. So the church. Church managed to get about £550 from the scrapyard.
Oh, that's good.
And we put it's okay. We put £5,500 into a tire for the current church car. We are still waiting. We appreciate prayers for the Turan black car. We think there's a minor fix to be carried out in that, but I'm not sure what it is. Maybe a sensor on the power steering or something like that. So we appreciate your prayers for that. And I think that's pretty much my lot. We were hoping to go and see my dad this coming Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but that might depend upon how well I'm doing. Norman, you wouldn't mind like travelling to the other end of Northern Ireland for my dad's tours that I did on your sister's tours last week.
No, thanks.
Well, I guess it's up to me then. But so that's possibility, Lord willing, see how I am come Wednesday. If I improve as much as I have the past few days, I should be back in form before too long. Any other prayer requests? Private prayer requests? Alright. We've got thanks for answered prayer about the headland. I was looking on eBay and I found it a cheap one for £65, but I couldn't get a hold of the people that had it, and then brand new ones for £120. But for the sake of pulling a seal off the back and letting the air out there, I think that was definitely an answered prayer. Amen. That awesome?
Okay.
All good? Mm-hmm. You some sore misgivings there, Mr. Lewis?
I will have my family introduced.
Well, would you be okay to pray for us? Thank you.
This day, Lord, and thanks for the brothers and everything you give us, for our strength, for our health, Lord, for bringing us out to church today, Lord. You're over and over, thank you for the numbers, but church today. As each and every has covered each and every pastor's reference, and it gives a blessing today, Lord. May our praises, may our tithes, our offerings, our praises, our songs, our prayers, and as we've been studying this, Lord, done well, and within thy law, Lord, and may be acceptable in your sight, Lord. Give us a blessing as well, Lord. Give us a little keep it alive, Lord. Give us a good frank, keep safe and well, Lord. So push a walk to the keep, and give us a keep. Also, give us a call, where we live, to look for nature, Lord. And God, push a walk to the guide and text upon. And bring him home as well, Lord. See Steve for another job as well, Lord. We thank you for having Steve, Lord. And heal Steve to many trouble, Lord. And heal mighty and powerful, Lord. And give us your puzzle group. Mark is back, Lord. Heal him mighty and powerful, Lord. Bring him back to full strength. Bless us this day, Lord. And give us a blessing. And also give a message from the sermon, Lord. And get our paths, Lord. And may our paths be guided by thee in our lives, Lord. We also give us a Christ centered week, start the week.
Amen. Thank you. Well, let's sing some more of those good old hymns. Please take your little black book and turn to, was it number 15 that somebody picked?
Yeah.
How long has it been?
Yeah.
Just making sure, because I put a piece of paper, but there's two hymns where I put the piece of paper in, so sometimes I'm on my hymn might be a bit off. Hymn number 15 in the Wee Black Books, How Long Has It Been? And we will just remain seated.
Thank you.
much. We have our last pick. We're not going to sing it now. Is it number 26 or 27? 26 and 27. The first two verses of 26 and the last two verses of 27.
I'm confused.
Hello?
I had an always suggestion that it was 26 and 27, so. All right. Well, then I didn't. Get your Bibles out for me, if you would. We are going to be in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 1. Is that getting too warm for anybody? Ling, are you getting too warm? I can start feeling the heat coming up here.
What? I'm not going to ask you that.
All right, how are you going to stay? We'll get there. We've got the heat coming at your back there. You know what a cow life is, don't you? Someone that feeds the cold. That's you right now. Revelation chapter 1, we're going to be speaking about the king. Revelation chapter 1. Yeah, I think I can actually see that, so I'll use my ordinary glasses. Revelation chapter 1. Beginning at verse number 1 and reading through until verse number 8. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Amen. We're speaking about the King. We're taking this as our starting point this morning. Amen. Amen. Let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you, Lord, for preserving this word that we can so casually hold upon our knees and pick up at any time in this part of the world, and we thank you for it. I pray that you would open our understanding of it, that you would give me the words for it this morning. Not just here, Lord, but everywhere where your word is open. That you would use the reading of it, the studying of it, the preaching and teaching of it, Lord, to edify those that are saved, to answer our questions, and for the saving of souls. I love you and praise you. I pray, Lord, that you would be one of our number, and Father, for most importantly, for your will to be done. I ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
I always like to take a minute or two and go through the little bit of the scriptures that we have read before we actually get into the service, because many times the things that will help you most won't be the actual thrust of the service, but the other, well, not, I can't even call them incidentals, but the extra bits, the bits that are around the particular subject of the service. This is the introduction of the book of Revelation. This is a book that is much hated hardly ever read in non-Bible believing circles. And my goodness, it's a real eye-opener. I heard of at least one person say, if you want the fear of God in your life and you want to get a better understanding of God, read the book of Revelation. And it is certainly a very thought-provoking book. It was given from God to Jesus, to his angels, who then brought it to John. And the Lord says that we ought to pay particular attention to it. In fact, it actually says in verse number 3 that there's a blessing upon the soul that reads these words, that hears them. That doesn't mean to, that means to actually pay attention to them and to think over them, and more importantly, to keep them, because the time is at hand. And that doesn't mean that even back in the days of the Lord was very close to coming. This is about 50 years, maybe 50 years after the Lord, 30, 40, 50 years after the Lord. John was in the Isle of Patmos for the preaching of the gospel. He'd been exiled there. But you don't know when the day will be at hand. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. The day for us little temporary creatures that are fearfully and wonderfully made, is literally at hand every day. There were days when I was ill, whenever I opened my eyes, it was almost a surprise. And I thanked the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another day. I'm sure Steve felt the same just this past few months. It's no light thing, and it's worth remembering. As you read the first two or three chapters of Revelation, you will find God addressing, through John, the seven churches in Asia Minor. And he goes through each one of them. We're not going to look at them this morning. But he goes through each of the churches in Asia Minor, and he reads them their pedigree. I don't know if you've ever had your pedigree read to you. It normally starts with your full name. Mark Henry Bradfield. You know that's not good. Especially if it's coming from your mom and dad. And you know maybe a thick ear or a good telling off is coming your way. But he reads the seven churches, their pedigree, and he details where they've gone wrong. Not to point a finger at them, but to enable them to pick themselves up and get going again. Now, verse number 6, as we go on, it tells us who this is from. It's from Jesus Christ, but this is what Jesus has done for us. For every soul that is saved, he's made us a king and a priest. Now, if he has made us kings and priests, that makes him, what? The King of Kings. The great high priest. Verse number 7 tells us that there is coming a day when the Lord comes back and everybody will see him. He's the beginning and the ending. There is the Alpha and the Omega. He lived, he died for our sins, and he lives again. He's God Almighty. And as we're taking this as, we're not taking this as our coronation weekend. It is our coronation weekend, if you like. The coronation ceremony that we have is at King Charles III.
Yes.
For King Charles III, and here was King Charles, I just couldn't remember the numbers, took place yesterday, and I am sure it was watched by tens, maybe hundreds of millions of people around the world. And there's a whole bunch of stuff happening. First of all, it's the first coronation in my lifetime, and it might be the only one that we see before the Lord comes back. My dad has seen three monarchs, the start of two and the end of two, because my dad's 91 and he saw the passing of George and the beginning of Elizabeth and her passing as well, and of course the beginning of Charles. Now, I know that ever since Queen Elizabeth passed away, that there have been plans afoot to coronate, is that the right word, to officially crown Charles as the king. And many have been looking forward to this for months. The Joe Public has, it's And they are, what do you call them, loyalists? Royalists? Monarchists? Have been looking forward to the day. I'm hoping, I'm not meaning to offend anybody, I'm just hoping to say the right word. A lot of people have been looking forward to it. A lot of people are glad of the monarchy. I know there's some that aren't, but a lot of people are keen to welcome the king. I think there were people, just like on every situation like this, I think there were people that camped out, waiting to get the best spot, the best view, and so they got their days ahead. What do they say about any place like housing? It's location, location, location. And for an event like this, I am sure it's the very same thing. Now, I know that this event, it wasn't just a bolt from the blue, and the whole of the procedure and all of the organise is a thing that has been handed down with a few modifications for our the new year day and days in which we live. But there's a lot of work that's gone into it, a lot of planning. Hints about what to expect, I am sure. I never really got a chance to watch much of the news, but there would have been news articles about what was going to happen, and maybe there were even a few going back to Elizabeth. Some bits of old footage showing hers. You know how the news stations always try and gather in the viewers for events like this. I know also, for all that we saw, the half a day of pageantry and one thing and another, that there was that was only the tip of the iceberg. But there was a huge amount of work going on in the background. There were security concerns. There were many of the, you call them uniforms, but what do you call them? The royal garments and things like that, crowns that would have had to have been cleaned. I'm sure security, there was more security than you would normally see. But a lot of stuff going on in the background which you and I will never see. Certain people received personalized invitations, heads of state from other countries. Some people received the invitations, others didn't. But it was a once-in-a-lifetime event, I am sure, for many that will have gathered there to bear witness to the crowning of King Charles. And many, many made a point of being there. We even get a day off in which to have time to sit and watch or make up for the day that we did sit off and watch on Monday. For the new King of England, there's a few changes that will have to be made. The post boxes eventually will have to go ER to CR, I think. Well, isn't Elizabeth Regina to Charles? I don't know what the male form of King is in Latin, but the national anthem will have to be changed. God save our glorious King, and I pray that he does. And the badges on a lot of, if not all, of the British Army will have to be changed as well to reflect that we now have a king instead of a queen. And of course, one of everybody's favourite, which I have yet to see anybody turn down, is the spondoolies, the mummy. That'll start to have Charles's head appear in that as well. And it'll be all, how do you put it, newfangled for a while. Give it a year or two down the line and it'll seem like there was never any other ruler there. Unfortunately, these days we are very short-memoried and we tend to be only, how would I put it, what's the news cycle, is it 15 minutes? Couple of days, a couple of weeks, and people tend to forget about things. Those that swear allegiance to the crown will have to swear it to the king, and not the queen anymore. Now, for all of that, and for all of the fuss that has been made of Charles as the King of England, hundreds of years ago he would have been the king of a global empire. Even if he hadn't been king hundreds of years ago, he's still just a man. And we have seen that he's a little bit impatient with himself He's a little bit grumpy at times as well, when his mum passed away and he had stuff to sign, and I'm sure he had a lot going on in his mind. For all of the people that love him, swear allegiance to him, hate him, follow him fanatically, he hardly knows any of them. Tiny percentage. That's not unexpected. He is, like I said, only a man. And generally speaking, as long as people are good citizens and pay their taxes, he's happy. He claims to be the defender of all faiths. Well, except, of course, Bible-believing Christianity. His coronation was available to the whole world. Now, most folks in the world may not have seen it, but they were aware of it. However, he doesn't have any real power. Having said that, I wouldn't like to get in his bad books, because I've seen what happens to people that get in his bad books. On Sunday, for this man that has started out on, I'm sure, what is a once-in-a-lifetime turn in his life, and that will change his life again forever, someday there'll be a day of mourning for him. Just like there was a day of mourning for his mother. Just not that very long ago. But for all that he is the King of England, he's just a man. And he's going to meet another king someday. And his coronation day is coming very soon as well. And there has been an invitation extended to every person that has ever lived and grieved. It has been not just a few months in the preparation or a couple of hundred years in the preparation, but thousands of years in the preparation. An incredible, uncountable, unmeasurable amount of planning and much work that has gone on behind the scenes to make it possible, even though most people are ignorant of it. Many people have waited not just a couple of days to see him, but their whole lives to see him. To see this coronation day. And you know what? Every soul that loves this king will see the coronation day. And many have lived their lives accordingly. Some only for a very short time. Now we've been given many hints and examples of what to expect. All of it is wrapped up in the prophecy of the Word of God. And we have had, through this very same Word of God, and in the lives that have been changed by him, a perfect picture of what this coronation day will be like. Everyone has been invited. Sadly, there's only a very, very few that accept the invitation. Some people love him. Many hate him, and many more don't even know him. But he knows every single person in the whole world. Not only does he know the person, he knows the life of the person and the future of the person. And he gives liberally to all that know him, and come to him. His patience is renowned. His love is beyond our comprehension. His forgiveness quite literally changes the life of anybody that repents of their sins and makes room for him and accepts. It will change their habits, friends, their locations on Sunday mornings and other church meeting times, their reading materials, their prayer time, the subjects of many conversations, and what people consider a good time will change when people accept this king's invitation. The Bible says it will change even the world when Christ comes to reign. In Revelation 22, it talks about him reigning for 1,000 years. And he will rule the whole world, not just one tiny island in the middle of on the in between the Atlantic and the Irish Sea. If we were to read on through the book of Revelation, there are three times when God's reign of the world is described. In Revelation 2 and 27, it says, "He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, excuse me, even as I have received of my Father." In Revelation 12, this is what the Word of God says, 5, "And she brought forth a man-child," that is, Israel brought forth a man-child, "who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne." That's talking about Jesus going back to heaven. And Revelation 19 talks about the day that he comes to the earth to rule and to reign. "And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God." The Bible says the Western world already, the Bible doesn't say it, the world already stops and gathers its breath for a day as we remember his birth. Does anyone remember when we remember Christ's birth?
Yeah.
We celebrate it on the 25th of December. And we have a global day of mourning for him as well, when he gave his life for us.
Mm-hmm.
We take that as Good Friday, although it might be closer to Wednesday or Thursday. And you would think that that would be an end, because that would be the life of an ordinary man. His birth and his death. And that little dash that goes in between. Nope. There's going to be a global day of celebration. There is a global day of celebration. When he came back from the dead, when he defeated death and took away its sting, we celebrate that on Easter Sunday. And I'm going to tell you something else. There's going to be another day, a coronation day, when Christ returns to rule and to reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And the Bible says the world will change. The world will not go on unchanged from that day. The Lord says he will rule with a rod of iron. That means his law, and no changes to it, none of man's additions to it, his law. And it will change the world. In fact, they'll never forget it. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is God Almighty, the great three in one. He is the defender of the one true faith. He even said that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. He's the Savior of whosoever will. Of the increase of his kingdom there will be no end. And he will share his eternity and his riches, and his gifts, and his power with all of his children. And someday, everyone, kings, queens, princes, paupers, and everybody in between, will all bow the knee, and they will admit, either grudgingly or knowingly, that Jesus Christ is King. And I am looking forward to that. I won't see it with these eyes, but as Jeremiah said, I will see it.
Amen.
I will be there along with every single soul that has ever put their faith in this King. He never changes. He never lets anybody down. He never casts anyone away. Will never leave you and will never forsake you.
Amen.
I must say, I will enjoy the day off that the country has been granted for the King's coronation.
Yeah, but he's not going to
I do, but I will doubly enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
Hot water bottle and the small in the back. But I will enjoy even more the next King's coronation. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And perfect and glorified body. I am looking forward to that. That was my tribute to the King of Kings. God bless you and thank you for your good attention.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Can't wait to shake his hand and say, thank you, Lord, for what you did.
He might be coming after you, Stephen, for making his life so busy.
Oh, well, I pick up me one too.
I think he might be coming after a lot of us.
When I get rid
of it. Amen.
He will stay quiet.
Will was just minding his own business. What is our, is it number 27 there?
Six.
Number 26. Is it the first half of 26?
I you
number 26.
I you not.
Yeah, your hip will stand and sing because he lives.
We've passed 27.
Yes, indeed. 26 it is.
Thank you.
okay to pray, Steve, or are you? Mm-hmm. You okay? Okay. Let's bow our heads and we'll close our eyes and see what this message for the word.
Blessed Father, we give thanks for all the blessings that you've bestowed upon us this week, Lord. For the good weather and the bad weather, for prayers answered and unanswered. Everything that you've bestowed upon us, Lord, please we give thanks and praise to you, Lord. Please accept our tithes and offerings as well, and our songs of praise to be lifted up to you, Lord, and to be pleasing to your ear and to the running of the church, Lord. And that you just guide us and strengthen us in everything that we need to say and do this week. And so the souls with the seals, they see you in us, Lord. As you said, let us be the light, Lord, while you are not in the world. Let that light be seen so that others can be guided to you to be saved, Father. Bless those that mourn this time. As you said, blessed are they who mourn, they shall be comforted. Bless all those who are sick and in need, Lord. They too shall be healed. Lord, please, if you will, bless all the nurses and doctors and NHS and everything that they do, Lord, provide them with their needs according to their own will, to keep saving lives, Lord, and Lord, that those lives will think on their churches, Lord, and be strengthened as you strengthen me, Father. Lord, I give thanks to you for my brethren here and around the world. I give thanks to you for your people. The Jews, Lord, and hope and pray that in Jerusalem a desire would be for souls to be saved there as well, Father. Save souls all around the world, Lord, are searching for you, Father. Searching hard, Lord, just open their eyes. Let them see you, let them feel you, Father. And Lord, that you will accept them, Lord, they will be saved and they become your children as well. Bless all those who are in persecution, Father. Bless open doors, release international for the works that they do, to get the gospel to them, to put their lives on the line for your name's sake, Lord. And those who are tortured and killed for your name's sake, Lord, we know that they will be in need. The Lord just be with them. And I ask for the war in the Ukraine, especially the column as well, Lord, and the front, Lord, if you will, there, you know where he is, Lord, to strengthen him. Guide him, give him the strength that he needs to be combatant, Lord, and come back home safe. Lord, please, if you will now, just be with each one of us as we depart and go to our individual homes. Lord, you bring us back in the next appointed time to be together again to praise your holy name. As we give thanks, strength, and glory, thanks and praise and glory to you, Lord, for you are worthy of it all, no one else. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you.